Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
How is everyone?
Welcome to 2026.
I never dreamt of 2026.
Really?
I never thought anybody ever dreamt of
2026.
I'm just saying, as a little girl, like, never saw past the 2000s. Like, never looked beyond 2000.
Oh, okay.
You know, you're in the 80s, 90s, like 2000s.
I remember, that was a big number. As a little girl, I said, I'm going to be 50 years old in 2026. I remember just randomly saying that. Like, how old will I be what year will it be when I turn 50? And I was like, gosh, that's 2026. And it seems so far away.
Yeah.
Then, and boom.
Here we are.
The world was supposed to end in 2000 or 1999. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, you hope you make it.
2026, like, that's a lot.
Yeah. But thinking about...
Maybe it just sound a lot because, you know, we're in the 21st century.
Why did 2026 sound to be so much more than all the other years?
I don't know.
Why not 2020?
I guess because we are, you know, we are a quarter away from another century.
Yep.
Yeah, we're 4 years away from 2030. Shit.
And you see how 2020 came in. Like, it changed the whole world. 2020 came in January. By the end of January, we trying to figure out why all these people falling out dying.
Yeah.
And COVID came in and changed the entire world.
Don't we have like a string of deaths towards the end of the year sometimes anyway?
We do, as we have witnessed, you know, in 2025, the end of 2025, like December 30th, it was crazy. It was so many deaths announced that day until I was just like, what in the heck? But of course.
In 2020?
In 2026.
Oh, okay.
I mean, 2025, I'm sorry. December 30th, 2025, it was so many deaths announced of people that, you know, you should have known of or something like that, that are celebrity status or some kind of listers.
Mm-hmm.
And so then my mom and my grandma would always tell us, God has a number. Mm-hmm. And he's going to take the number that he needs. And so that's why every day is the day to be grateful that you're alive and you made it throughout that entire day.
Not only that, you know, every year, like you say, it's always some celebrity that passes at either the end of the year or at the beginning of the new year. Right. Some, and it's like, dang, all the good ones get taken away from us. So I'm not saying I'm anticipating to see what deaths are taken from us, you know, in the new year of 2026, but I'm kind of like on pins and needles to, you know, like, oh, like what's going to happen in the beginning of 2026? Because it's like nerve wracking a little bit because every year, at the beginning of every year, it's always some celebrity passing away that has, you know, made a mark somewhere in our lives or in history at some point in time.
Right.
I can't remember what year it was Cicely Tyson died, but I think it was like at the very beginning or the very end of 1 year. And it blew me away. Now, Cicely Tyson was old, but you just don't be ready for people like that to leave here.
Right.
Because I know we weren't ready for Malcolm Jamal Warner.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. Y'all.
That rocked everybody's world.
They were doing, of course, they do the remembrance. As soon as they came, when his face appeared, I was like, I still don't understand.
It still
that.
Don't seem
I,
real.
I can't. I just think he's away, maybe doing a film,
right,
and then something's going to come out next year with him on it.
It's not real to me either.
But back to Cicely Tyson, when she passed, of course, yes, she was older, and we was, you know, all grateful for the years that she was here. But I tell you, the way she released, the way her people released her autobiography.
Yes.
As soon as she died, and I said that in one of my, you know, things that I don't mind sharing in the journal. I said, and that's exactly how I want to do it. I want to release my little fictional book as soon as I die. Release this book right here. I don't have to answer any questions. Y'all can take it
She
died January 28th of 2021.
Yep.
So she was already preparing a book or autobiography.
She already had one.
It was already written.
And the people released it after she
I mean, that's smart.
I love it.
You do it. Because they're going to have to do mine, because I'm going to be telling too much shit.
But not only that, you get to tell your own story. Right. You get to tell. You don't have to wait and somebody else tell the story for you.
Right. And you ain't got to answer no questions.
And like she said, I live my life. So
no
here,
face, no case.
There you go.
There you go.
And I don't have to answer.
You don't have to have 50 million different documentaries about you.
Nope.
I really do feel like she did that purposely. I do.
She don't honestly watch how everybody done screwed up everybody else stuff. And she's like, not for me. Mm. Not on my time.
Yep.
I done lived long enough to see y'all done screw up everybody else. Let me get myself over here together. That was her living will.
And you know what? They really didn't, how can I say, advertise it a lot. It was just like, she passed the, because she passed, okay, I just looked it up. She passed January 28th. Her book came out March 13th. And they didn't really blow it up like it should have been blown up. And I think it's because she was already dead. You know what I'm saying?
Because I didn't even know she had a book out.
Mm-hmm. They released
it. Mm-hmm. They released it 2 months after, mm-hmm. well, not even 2 months, mm-hmm. right after she passed away. But I think had it been a book and then they, you know, put it out there first, and mm-hmm. the momentum had built,
mm-hmm.
it would have been different sales. It would have been a different thought process on how everybody felt about what she was saying in the book. Because she does tell a lot.
Yeah, she does.
How long has she been acting? I know she's been acting since, like, what, the 30s?
Shit. What was, I don't even know what her first movie was.
I just remember her from,
she probably was acting since she was a wee.
From Sounder and Bustin' Loose. And that was that, what, 80s? That was early 80s. Bustin' Loose was early 80s.
I want to say she was acting in the 70s.
Yeah, I think
probably.
She probably was. Why, I just
why
remember
I said the 30s?
Her first acting role.
I thought you meant in her 30s. But that's
her first acting role was in 1956.
See, you was close.
Carib Gold.
Yeah. I was closer to the 30s than y'all was to the 80s.
Was it Sounder?
No.
What was it? I said Sounder.
I don't know. Was it Miss Jane Pittman?
I remember Miss Jane Pittman, but I remember
The name, but I don't remember the movie. Unless that was the movie.
Because you're so young.
Well, you know, man, I'm getting up in
age
now.
Have you ever watched Bustin' Loose?
I can't recall, but I do remember the name.
What was she in Bustin' Loose? Wasn't she the pimp girlfriend?
No, Bustin' Loose, she was the teacher.
Oh, maybe that was
that's
a song.
Right. That was the one where the kids was on
and
the school
Richard
bus.
Richard Pryor was the,
No, she was some kind of, she was in one of the movies where she was dressed up like Savannah Brown. I'm telling you, she had the little hat on, the wig.
Oh, it was Sounder. That was 1972.
Well, hold on. Is that where they get the song from, Bustin' Loose, from?
I feel like Bustin' Loose. I don't know. Cause we don't.
I'm not sure because I know Roberta Flack did that entire album.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure, but it could have been.
Oh, okay.
It could have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, you got to go back and look at history. It's mm-hmm. so many things. Like I sent Sue something the other day about Diana Ross.
And I told her, I told you, and y'all know that, listen to this thing, I always, you know, I love Diana, but I always do that side eye. Because I told you.
Auntie Diana. Now y'all know I love me some Diana Ross.
I told y'all.
What did Diana do?
What she didn't do is the question. Who
I
she
tried
didn't,
to tell y'all.
Who she didn't do was is the question.
And I tried to tell y'all.
Because I'm sitting there surprised like, girl, you fucked him too? Him too? I know them. Let me tell you something. I know them hoes hated to see Diana coming.
And the lady said, that's why she don't have any friends.
Out. It should have been, I'm coming to get your man.
I'm coming.
Aunt Diana ain't care if you was married. She was coming to get your man. Aunt, when they told me how Diana had done went to the man's house where his wife was to tell him to come outside, hey, you need to come on with me. I was done. I was done with her. They had to call the police on Diana Ross to get her from Eddie Kendrick's house. Cause
what?
God damn right. That was her man. While he was married to another woman.
And the lady had to call the police and tell her to leave.
Because she wouldn't leave. My baby, my baby.
Guess who else she dated?
Driving me crazy.
Guess who else she dated?
Who she dated?
David Ruffin.
She dated him too?
For a little while.
But Diana had a lot of boyfriends.
Diana dated everybody in Motown.
Hitsville.
Allegedly.
So why they be getting on these little young girls about who they screwing? They need to be.
They trying to say, listen, mother has lived and you don't want to do that. You don't want to.
But my thing is the same hoes we got today is the same hoes we had back in the day. Yeah. The problem is in mama and them day, they didn't have social media.
That's it.
And phones. And the technology that we have. Now. Right. See, back in the day, let me tell you another thing. Back in the day, they didn't have DNA. So basically, if your mama wound up pregnant and had the baby, guess what? It was automatically the husband's by per the laws of the state. Two, they didn't have no DNA to change it. So when that little kid looked different from all the other siblings, and they used to say, well, you know, that's the milkman baby. Or that's the little outside baby. Okay, but sir, you can't even prove it.
So, two things. The song Michael, Dirty Diana. Was he talking about Diana Ross?
Yes. Yeah, they said that, yes, allegedly.
Because allegedly.
First they was trying to say it was Princess Diana. No, it was Diane over there from Detroit.
But you saw in the little thing, they said that her and Michael had a little something.
I knew that. I tried to. I've been telling y'all that for years.
Lord, Michael.
And that's why Cher don't fool up with her. Because she took Cher. The boyfriend. Cher took the. She was dating, I want to say it was Gene from Kiss.
She took Cher's boyfriend.
Right.
And Cher used to be homegirl.
Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy,
Smokey Robinson.
Okay, I heard about them
and
too.
And the one to write the songs. Now, that's the only Holland. One I didn't know about. Holland. That Yoshi told me. I said, I didn't know about Brian Holland.
And then two, has anyone ever did a documentary on her?
No.
Not yet.
Baby, that one need to come out when she
oh,
did.
Oh, she got to be like, dead.
But you know what? And I don't really think her children. She need to really do a Cicely Tyson. Yeah, I don't think her children going to go for it either, though. Because I can see
they don't want you to talk about their mama.
Rhonda, Chutney, and so Tracy.
They're going to have to die, too, in order for that documentary to come out.
But I'm sure it's coming.
But they telling the shit now. So, I mean, you might as well let her be here to defend herself. Why she can't just be like, so what is Diana's sign?
I did it.
Diana is a what? She's a Gemini or a Taurus?
She is an Aries. I think her and Kari got the same birthday.
Oh, my God.
Look who else is Aries?
Hold on. Aretha? Don't put that on no Gemini.
Mariah?
But hold
she
on.
She ain't no, just because she been soaring all around the world don't mean she a Gemini.
But I look at Geminis as more a free spirit.
Yeah, she was a very free spirit, but...
You look at the
time. She had that fire.
And the boy defends what she did very well because he said, hey, all the people who were in Motown at that time were in college age range, right? So what do people do in college? This is their first time away from home, unsupervised. They're kind of living life and sowing their royal oats or whatever. So can we really hold her
Oh, I don't hold her at all.
For just living and being free.
Diana was trying to get it how she lived.
And she wanted to, any way she could possibly get to the top, that's what she did. I don't because have no judgment. I have just been trying to tell you this all these years.
Because she wasn't the number one singer for the group, right?
It was Flo.
Florence had the better voice, but... Like Dreamgirls, Diana had the beauty in the stage presence.
And that's what
Flo was beautiful. Flo was prettier than Diana.
She was. She was beautiful. However, Diana had the sex appeal.
According to Barry Gordy, because he was sexing her.
Well, she was easy. Like Sunday morning.
I don't know if she was easy.
She was easy to work with, maybe.
I'm going to say this.
Maybe she was easier to get along
when
with.
When I put the three faces together, she stands out. I'm sorry. She does. Mm-mm. She has the eyes. She has these eyes. I'm sorry.
Puppy doll eyes?
Yes.
Now, her eyes are beautiful. No, Diana is. Diana is a beautiful
and
person.
They draw
but
you.
Flo was beautiful.
And if you sitting there with them eyes and baby, that was it for me.
She done slept with this songwriter. She had slept with the other songwriter and producer, Smokey Robinson, and she got Barry Gordy. So, of course, who else was going to get the role? Because Flo wasn't about to. Flo was in love with Otis.
Yeah, they all done been round.
So?
I don't know. Now, Patty got some bodies on her too.
No, Patty ain't got a somebody. She got Otis. And it ended.
She got some bodies on her.
She had Otis and it ended.
Patty got somebody.
Papa LaVert.
She don't want nobody we're not to sure. talk about.
Oh, no. Because Patty will tell her own stuff.
Y'all don't realize that. Patty was bumping off Big Daddy Kane, baby.
Listen, that's why I said Patty got her own stuff. Yeah, she like younger men. She like younger men, but here's the thing.
Big Daddy?
She ain't sleep with Smooth all operator. These people, though.
No. I think Diana's was more closer in proximity. So you was like,
Diana did what she had to do to get to where she was at.
Now,
had better cookies.
I will say that Barry Gordy was a power move for Diana because look at that relationship. Look at the places that relationship took her. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, she slept with the songwriter, producers, and the and
if
the
I was up
head.
And coming back then, I might have thrown him some ass.
Well, she threw the behind to everybody who was in charge of Motown.
Okay, well, she was throwing the ass in a circle.
And you know what?
Like
she didn't even care.
And she didn't care. That's my whole thing.
She didn't care.
And she still don't care. And she got some wonderful children.
I'm for the hoes. And I've always been for the hoes.
No, I'm not saying that
always.
She's a whore. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying she's a whore, but
well,
the story
she's a sophisticated whore, and she's
classy
a
hoe.
Yeah, she's a classy one,
and
she ain't no broke hoe.
Mm-mm.
Now, if you're gonna hoe around, you're gonna hoe around and make something out of it.
Cause me and my best friend had
Kenya,
a discussion.
Isn't that what Kenya Moore said?
Yeah.
Cause if I was one, I'll be the best one ever.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
got,
Kenya
yeah,
Moore
if you're gonna
said.
Hoe around, don't be a broke hoe.
Cause what did we say? We didn't use. Our pussy the way we should
didn't
have.
Use
we didn't
sex we, appeal at all.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We didn't activate it right.
And it's a price that come with this. Like you don't get this shit out to everybody. If in hindsight, when you look back on all the bodies you have, we weren't supposed to give half them niggas this shit. They didn't deserve it. They didn't have the finances. We should have never laid down with them. Met them nowhere at the Radisson. Nowhere. No. You was not entitled to this ever at any point in my life. And those are poor pussy decisions. But Diana made some great ones. I ain't mad at her.
Mm-mm.
I'm for the hoes that hoe for the right reason and for the right price.
Okay.
Well, speaking of that, I think we are going to discuss a topic in regards to...
Well, the top 10.
Look, let's get on topic.
Well, is it top 10 or top... was it top 10? Yeah, the top 10.
It's top 10 reasons why men take you out of your softness. Because we notice ourselves becoming... Oh, shit, it's already there. We the man in a relationship. Most times in this day and time, we have this masculine, I don't know what it is, aura, energy. But Sue, what did we say? We are natural givers. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we should be natural givers. It's because giving is a masculine trait. I told y'all this before. Just like being in control is a masculine trait. Man's supposed to be the leader, right? It's a lot of things we're doing out of masculinity when we should be residing in our feminine.
Right.
So when I say a men's energy is to give, the woman's energy should be to receive. A man's energy should be to direct and to give orders and to lead. We are supposed to then in suit follow. If we don't trust this man fully, we're not going to follow him, are we?
No. We're going to rebel. We are going to go. We're going to butt heads. We're just not going to. We're going to retaliate. We're going to do everything opposite.
Right.
Everything opposite.
So we are going to naturally feel like we need to be in control because this nigga don't make good decisions. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if we don't fully trust him to be in control, why are we even with him? You get what I'm saying?
That's a good question. Why?
Miss Therapist? Why are we women settling for these men that we have to be masculine with?
Well, before the therapist speaks, I would say because we want better. We want to hope and wish that they do better and they be better and we give them more chances than we should.
But are you trying to be his mother or are you trying to be his mate?
No, I don't think we're trying to be nobody's mother. I think we just trying to
be a helpmate.
We want to see the better in a person and give them the opportunity, and we give more opportunity than we probably should, and we end up finding ourselves on the short end of the stick when it's all said and done.
But when he's coming in, that person
fighting for themselves.
Right, but look at you. That's still something that you do for a child. You rear the child.
But then that goes back to a woman being the nurturer. That goes back to the woman catering and caring.
So that's feminine.
That's a feminine energy. Yes, that's a feminine energy.
So to counteract that, the masculine energy would be to what? Be the provider, to be the father, to make the woman feel like I don't need you to nurture this situation.
I would say it's okay to listen and then take the information and then do something with it.
I agree with Vaughn, I
believe a man needs to hear you to understand what needs to be done. I don't think it always has to be a silent.
You should automatically know what to do. Because we have already learned through life and even through life, through our experience, others' experience, everybody doesn't know what to do. Everybody doesn't know what a provider needs to do to actually provide. Everybody is not perfect. Some women don't even know how to nurture. And especially
or
some of these women.
Everybody's a mind reader. Right.
You got to communicate that. And when the communication is lost, you're not being open and honest about what's going on, then the relationship is not going
to
work.
Now, it's a plus, I think, to have the instincts.
Right.
For the man to have the instinct to jump in the mode to say, I recognize the problem.
So explain the situation. How does it work? How do we counterbalance? So the man comes in with an idea. This is what we going to do. We going to get married. We going to buy a house. We going to have some children. The nurturer, the female energy, feminine energy, comes in and says, well, what are your suggestions? What are your suggestions as the nurturer? It coming into my idea. We're going to do it this way. He came in leading. So you come in counteracting. Well, I think we should focus on education and building X, Y, and Z before we start having the children so we can make sure that we have a good foundation. Now he counteracts. It's a good plan, baby. You see what I'm saying? It's a...
And that's what I'm saying. It's all about communication and how you communicate it and where you communicate it and when. Because every conversation doesn't need to be maybe, I don't know, maybe it's something that you all do by yourselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe you go somewhere out of the home and talk about it. But it's still about communication and how it's communicated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I take it a little more specific. We need a new car for the house. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take your old car and I'm going to drive it and I'm going to go get a new car and let you drive the newer car. Meanwhile, we're going to devise a plan to put this money back into the house where we're losing with this new car payment. So that's what I expect for a leader to do. Not we go out here, go get a new car, and now we in debt and we ain't
but
figured out.
But does the man always have to be the person that has that plan? Because it could be that the woman is better financially than the man and can devise the financial plan. Maybe he has the money, but she can devise the plan.
Well, they've always said that if the husband builds the house, the woman is supposed to keep the house.
Right.
Almost like the man goes and makes the money, and the woman is the bookkeeper and allocates what right. gets paid. And, you know, those are things that the husband doesn't necessarily have to do.
And then I have seen it where the husband is a little bit better mm-hmm. with the money, or the boyfriend or whatever is better with the money. And the girlfriend or the wife, you know, you got to put her on a little allowance or some kind of, because she going to mess up the house and the money mm-hmm. if she keeps it that way. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like
you find the person's strengths. You find your mate's strengths. You're better with this.
And that's when you're a helpmate.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And it all leads to open, honest communication.
But I would say in personality, recognizing when a person, let's just go with recognizing emotions. Mm-hmm. I should not have to come to you when you done pissed me off. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To let you know you have pissed me off. That I should not have to come to you to tell you you have pissed me off. You should already know based on my body language, my response, mm-hmm. that something is off.
I agree with you.
Well, that goes into number one of the 10 things. When he dismisses her emotion and labels her as too sensitive, too emotional, or too much, period, she learns to quiet herself to keep the peace. Now, we just talked. That's not fair to her. Two of that was when he shuts down during conflict instead of communicating, she stops bringing up things and starts handling everything on her own or internally. I mean, that just goes off of what you just said. Because number three, when her feelings are treated like an inconvenience instead of information, she replaces vulnerability with emotional distance. See, that's when it starts like not even becoming a marriage. We just exist in here.
Well, sometimes that's in the beginning of the relationship, because somebody can say, you're too sensitive. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to express how I feel. Maybe the way I express how I feel is a little bit more expressive than yours, but that doesn't mean that I'm too sensitive. I'm just trying to have a conversation with you to let you know how I feel about the situation.
And I'm going to say this. We have to really look at people's upbringing and their home environment from their families, because how I was raised and how you were raised in your household are two totally different households.
Yes, that's so important.
Maybe y'all didn't communicate and talk like you should have. And now you're bringing that into our home. And that is not fair to me.
That is so true, because I actually had that conversation. And with having that conversation, that person felt that, man, why are you so sensitive? My sisters aren't like that. they could, I can have the same conversation with them and it can roll off their backs. Why are you still waddling in the same thing? Well,
I'm not used to
having a conversation or being talked to in a certain way. Mm-hmm. I am not, and I'm used to, after having a harsh conversation, being sat down and going over what was discussed to resolve issues instead of having time dissolve itself or sweeping it under the rug.
Right.
I'm not used to the latter.
But how do you even have a conversation with a man who is comparing you to his sisters? Because number one, your relationship with your sister is a totally different. The way you act and move with your sister is going to be totally different from the way you act and move with your intimate partner.
Because
so how can some, you compare?
Because some men see women as all as one. They don't look at it as being a sibling and a girlfriend. They look at it as man and woman. They're not looking at it as the relationship wise. Mm-hmm. They're just looking at it as gender.
But that goes into four. When he invalidates her intuition and makes her second guess herself, she learns to suppress her instincts. So now him telling you, my sisters don't act like that. What if you just rested on that and just said, well, maybe I am doing too much. Maybe I just need to fall back a little bit and be a little harder and be a little stronger.
Or maybe I need to, you know, reel it back in, you know, okay. Maybe I need to readjust the way that I approach certain things. Why do I have to why is it always me doing the adjustment?
Yeah. Why am I watering myself down to make you comfortable?
Oh, that ain't gonna ever happen.
Well, we know that, but I think that's what men.
I've learned from the past. That's how I used to be, mm-hmm. But I would never change. I will only change for myself, but I would never change for anyone else. Mm-hmm. If I notice the damage of myself, but it's through relationships you learn about yourself. But if I see that the repetitiveness of cycles, mm-hmm. and I say, okay, this has been a repetitive cycle, let me reevaluate myself. But if I see like my questions aren't being answered, mm-hmm. that's not a, now I'm not wrong for that.
Right.
I still haven't gotten my question answered from when I was 19 years old when I had that problem with such and such. Mm-hmm. And here I am, 45 years old, with the same question. Ain't been answered. So I know it ain't me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not me. It's y'all. Y'all are dancing around it because you don't want to be held accountable.
Accountability.
At the end of the day, all of this right here is the man or woman do not want to be held accountable for their actions of what they have caused.
Absolutely.
And because what did we say? There's a cause and an effect to everything.
To everything.
You can't speak on my effect when we don't touch on the cause.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
All of this is taking accountability. You don't want to be responsible for the actions that you have caused.
Right.
And guess what? There's no death in being accountable.
And so that's
you're not going to die.
You know what's so crazy is that's what people like when people like, oh, okay, this person need to go get help. They need therapy. Until that person is ready, therapy is not going to work. Inpatient is not going to work. Nothing is not going to work until you're ready for it to work.
So stop.
So when you are ready to take some accountability for your actions, nothing is going to work.
So with that being said, do you think people who have not done the healing or started the process of therapy, do you really think they should even be getting into relationships?
But they're not going to, no, they shouldn't be in a relationship, but they're still going to do it anyway because they feel like they're going to find somebody who is going to accept what they offer. And then this person is going to be like, well, they can change, da 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 da. Here's the thing. Some people go into relationships and they realize, oh gosh, this is how I've been acting this whole time. And that person may be a contributor to their change, but they still have to make the decision to change themselves.
I would say exactly. Different people draw out different things in people.
You're right.
And it may, all three of us could have dated the same person, mm-hmm. but it could be you that be the person that made this that man change.
Right.
Because it could have been something that you said that mm-hmm. we may not have said or did.
Love
that,
him differently. Yeah. I mean, because we're all different people.
Right.
Right.
So we bring out a different part of that man. Mm-hmm. I get it.
And then it could be a situation where, like Sue said, there is someone that will tolerate that behavior mm-hmm. because they feel like they want to be wanted and not needed.
But why are you going from woman to woman, woman to woman, woman to woman, tearing up people's lives without seeing that you're the common denominator in the foolishness?
Oh, they're delusional. And those people are delusional, I think.
I think, and I also feel like they're searching for something that they got to find within. That's what I've found when people come in for sessions, that they're searching for something that's been absent from their lives, from childhood, from middle school, or from a relationship, or they just don't want to hurt the way they hurt it when they did care. So,
yeah.
And once, like I said before, they also want that person that's going to be for them and understand, this is how my lifestyle is, or this is how my life is. And they're like, okay, well, cool. This is, I can tolerate this. And then some people can continue to tolerate it. And then some can't and realize, okay, I feel like that's the person for me, but this person doesn't want to change.
And that's why I get out quickly. When I start seeing the red flags, I'm out. I'm not here to be your teachable moment. I'm not here to be the one who brings you, you know, to, you know, where you need to be at or recognize what you need to be doing. That ain't my assignment. That's not my purpose in life. If we can't coexist together and you already healed and I'm healed and we're bringing out the best of each other, I'm getting the fuck out of there. I don't have time to heal you and help you heal. I'm not going to do it.
But everybody's not going to come in there perfect, though.
No.
And but I also see, too, women and men, they want this perfect person. They want, this is what I want from here. But then when the mirror is back on you, it's like, well, I got stuff I got to do and I got to work on. They knew that. No, y'all need to discuss. These are some things that I have to work on. These are some things that I know I need to work on. And if it's triggering, the ideal thing to do is either talk to a mentor, your church leader, really find a therapist and kind of work that stuff out for yourself so you can be better for everybody around you.
And then why not ask that person, hey, I know it's stuff that I need to work on. Mm-hmm. Are you open to going on this journey with me?
Right.
Or is this going to be triggering for you? Or is it going to be an issue? Give me that option.
And that's what I keep saying. Communication. You got to be open, honest, and say, listen, these are the things that have triggered me. And if you are willing to work with me, and some people feel that at that time that they can work with that person, but then it may become too much.
Overwhelming, yeah.
And they say, listen, I know I said I would be here for you, but this is a lot for me.
I think it's selfish for that person to be that way. Yeah. No, because they know and they have reeled this person in mm-hmm. and they got them hook, line, and sink them onto the hook, and they got them emotionally invested. Mm-hmm. And they got them to a point where they feel like they, you know,
they can't go.
I'm obligated to fulfill my duties to stay here and and help you navigate through all of this while I am diminishing myself daily.
Right.
You know,
but it shouldn't be. That's why. That's why.
And they see the flags, but they don't know how to get out.
But that's the thing is that's why you go to the professionals. And you try not to dump everything on your mate. That's why you go to the professionals to figure that part
and
out.
And to get guilt tripped.
Because you're responsible for taking yourself off the hook.
And I don't want to be, because I don't want to be that burden to you. That's why you go to the professionals and say, listen. Mm-mm. But you would let them know, listen, this is what I'm working on.
That's a responsible person.
Right. If this is too much for you, but... And then you may not bring it up as much, but you know, on the other side, you're working on it. But some people do not think there's nothing wrong with how they are, you know, living. And that's them. That's them. Who are we to judge? You find that person that's going to work with you and be with you and accept what you want.
So I'm going to read 5. 5 was affection. When affection is inconsistent or conditional, she stops expressing softness and starts protecting herself. We've all seen that before.
Yes.
And then 6 goes into when he avoids accountability and turns every issue into an argument, she learns that silence feels safer than honesty.
Because she does, it's like, it's that to the point, definitely. You don't want to talk anymore because you don't feel heard.
Yes.
You don't feel heard. So why am I even going to talk to you?
Because 7, when her needs are minimized or ignores, she adapts by asking for less and expecting nothing. Baby, if you win something and you can't ask for what you need and you can't expect anything, get the fuck out of there. You ain't even in no damn relationship no more.
What is it?
You're coexisting in something that doesn't exist.
That person has mentally and emotionally ghosted you.
Gaslighted, ghosted, breadcrumbed. all them little nuances Get your ass up out of there.
And I'm telling you, I have experienced every last one of these.
Yes.
I have.
We all have.
This was the one this was the kicker for me. 8. When he jokes about her emotions or weaponizes them during arguments, she hardens to avoid being hurt again. Let me tell you something. That anytime you feel like you want to make a joke about my feelings and my emotions, I already know you don't take me serious. So I'm about to stop fucking with you altogether because the shit that means the most to me, it's a joke to you.
Yeah, I mean, that right there, you ready for war.
Yeah.
You ready to fight.
Now I got to kill your goddamn ass.
Yeah, I mean, now we about to, you think we about to do a Chris Brown and Rihanna on the highway.
I'm something to play with. That's what that is. You think that's invalidating. We can't joke about your shit. So why are we joking about mine? Why are we playing?
What's funny?
Yeah. Right. Or what's invalid here? And then to weaponize something, let me tell you what somebody.
Don't throw it up in my face.
When I used to bring up stuff to my ex-partner and say, hey, I'm bringing it to your attention, so-and-so and so-and-so. You know what pisses me off? Well, you always do so-and-so. Uh-uh. We talking about you right now. So now, when they do some shit like that, that takes the focus off what you're talking about and throws shit back up. And now I'm sitting up here thinking about, well, when the hell did I do so-and-so? That's why I tell my partners, if you got a problem with me, you bring it up at that point. Right. If you ain't bringing it up at that moment in time for me to correct and fix, it ain't no fucking problem.
But then also, no, you can't be that way though, Yoshi. You have to understand, like you said, you got to think about the upbringing.
Right.
Because everybody's not going to talk about the problem right then and there.
But if I'm telling you.
But if you're telling them, that's still control because you're trying. But the thing is, that person still may, it may take that person some time to express how they're feeling. So you got to understand, too, that everybody's not going to talk about the problem issue head on. it may take some time.
So what would you do if every time you speak on something to correct your partner's behavior,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, what about when you, or you always, because we're not talking about
you
no
more.
To me,
that's a problem.
That's deflecting. We're not talking about you anymore.
That's right. We're talking about, and that is deflecting.
So how do you gain back, I don't want to say control, but how do you...
Let's come back to
let's talk about
issue at hand.
And then we'll revisit.
And then mm-hmm. we'll revisit what, and I apologize. And then you could say, I hear what you're saying. I want to come back to the issue at hand. But how I told you before, how my strategies, if you just talk to me about when it happens, then I know that you probably try to think of things as things happen to try to approach me. But I said to you, if there's ever a problem with me, please come to me
mm-hmm.
so I can listen at that time.
And then in that moment, I would ask,
right.
is there anything now that I've done in the past?
Mm-hmm.
After your situation has been addressed.
Yes.
And there you go.
I want to know now.
Is there anything else? Let's talk about this now. Is there anything?
Because this is your time. Because
yep.
I do not want to have another argument
yep.
after yeah. this date for something that happened.
Right.
If we get into another argument 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, and there's something from this date before that was brought up.
And I agree with you so much. And I want people understand that if you all say that you're going to squash it, please.
Let it be squashed.
Couples, squash it. Because guess what your therapist is going to do? Didn't we? Okay, y'all came in here 3 weeks ago and you all said, so y'all bringing this back up again?
Mm-hmm. It ain't squashed.
Then what is the other underlying issue?
Exactly.
There's something else.
Yeah.
I go back to what I always say. It is the open and honest communication.
Because you can't move forward until you address
the elephant in the room.
Right. Even if it hurts, be open and honest. Because how are we going to move forward?
Even if it's the invisible elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, we're going to go into a real time story. I was always being accused of cheating. But see, I ask the questions ahead of time, and I start putting little shit together ahead of time. So I was always accused of cheating or him not being enough or, you know, and I was like, where's these goddamn insecurities coming from? I don't understand. So then I started asking more questions about the mama. You don't trust me because you don't even trust the woman your mother was. You seen your mama growing up. Doing any and everything under the sun with different men. So now your trust factor is not that it don't rely in me. You always said that every woman you've been with, you couldn't trust her. She was a cheater. She was a this, she was a that. But when we go all the way back to the invisible elephant in the room, why you don't trust women? Because of your mama. Because of your mama.
And that's what I refer to as
because of your mama.
Right.
And so I had to bring it to the mother's attention. This is his problem ongoing with women. That's why he can't stay with nobody. Because, nigga, you the first example of a woman he ever had. So he can't trust me and nobody else after me and nobody before me because of you. That's why with the daddy I got, I can't trust niggas. I can't. I got good brothers. I have great uncles that have been great role models. But the first man that was supposed to love me wasn't shit. Still ain't at 73.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that part. That thing a savage now. So do you know how hard it is for me to have a decent relationship with a man? And that's why, Vaughn, I tell him now, baby, this ain't what you want over him. This is a problem. I ain't even right for you. I done had to tell men sir, my mind is a little warped on men. It ain't gonna work out. Now, have I been married? Did I have a semi-successful marriage? Yes, I was able to love this man. He had his little issues here and there, but the man that I needed for me to feel secure and loved, he was that for me. He didn't have the same tendencies of my father. So there's the difference. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So every woman can be loved. It's just going to take this a special man to love her.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And like, you know, and you have to do the work as well. And you have to be honest, mm-hmm. you know, with that person.
Well, that also goes into number nine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Read it for us, Vaughn.
So it says, when emotional safety is missing, she shifts into survival mode instead of feminine energy.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what happens. She is missing that piece of the safety from her partner. Mm-hmm. So therefore, she's no longer that feminine that she needs to be in that relationship. She's in survival mode. She's becoming, you know, now you got two men in the house.
Exactly. And yeah. You know that ain't going to work.
That ain't going to work because you're a woman. And, you know, he probably sizing you up and you sizing him up. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And then 10 comes when she feels like she has to manage his emotions on top of hers. Then her softness turns into exhaustion.
And guess what? You calling him weak? You calling him
ballerina?
Everything except for a man.
Exactly.
Where your balls?
Yeah.
Did it drop yet?
You're like, challenging him. You know, you're not even allowing him to lead you anymore. You can't trust anything this man says. You can't trust anything he does because you've had to take on that masculine role.
And then that for him, he's now feeling emasculated. He's feeling less than a man in his own house, in his own relationship.
So now what he doing? Looking for somebody to make him feel like a man.
Mm-hmm.
He's distancing himself.
Yep.
But can I, was that the last one?
Yeah, that was the last one.
I also want everybody to also open this up to friendships as well,
mm-hmm.
because it has traits of how people's personality in friend groups can happen, and that person can shut down as well. That person does not feel like they've been seen or heard, or, you know, in the joke maybe possibly on that one, just that one person, mm-hmm. and then everybody laughs, but then if it's on somebody else, nobody laughs or nobody's funny because that person can't take that. Or it just feels like, okay, if I say how I feel, then nobody is really going to listen to me or offer that empathy. Like everything that was stated in these 10 slides, I can also apply that to relationships with your family mm-hmm. and your friends, even your office mates,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's about the only thing that I can think of, and we have said it, but not in this way, is responsiveness versus reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say reactiveness, but reactivity. Responsiveness versus reactivity. So how you respond versus how you react is really good. Like you all said, cause and effect. So you hear, make sure that I always say effective listening. Make sure that you are really listening and understanding. And when you say, as we say in therapy land, so what I hear you saying is, you know, because that's what we say.
Yeah.
So we can understand what our client in front of us are trying to say so we can help them. Did y'all hear that? Help them figure out the answer. We're not going to provide you. We're going to help you figure out how you can solve this on your own. So,
You repeat that, it makes them feel like you've actually listened to what they
exactly.
said.
Exactly, and that is effective listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think that will open up more and people can just release and be themselves and say, it's okay if I do mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And their anxiety won't heighten to threefold and tenfold. So responsiveness versus reactivity.
You see how you say how last night we got that text about that joke that wasn't fucking funny,
Well, I thought it was funny.
And I shut it shit down and I thought it was funny
because guess what? I did pull out all the stuff and I said, and if I had time, I will pull it off again. So to you, you thought it wasn't, but I thought it was because I was seeing it from my standpoint of I'm pulling out all the pictures.
Right, but you see how two people took it somewhere that it didn't even need to go.
I saw it.
I caught the.
Well, I didn't know the joke,
but I saw your comment. You didn't like
yes,
it.
Yes, she was actually just, you know,
it was showing a, it's, old it pictures. Was a memory
she
that
was taking
came,
old yeah. pictures. Somebody that I was dealing with made a joke of it, and she took it to the next level.
She's just pulling out old pictures. Yeah.
But the other one who I was dealing with commented, and then she continued to make a joke of it, and then in turn made that post and continued to joke off of it. So this is how people take something and weaponize it and joke off of you, knowing that it bothers you. Her intentions were pure.
Yeah.
Theirs were not.
And then that person wasn't in none of the pictures, right?
No, they weren't in none of the pictures, but they were commenting.
Oh, okay.
They took it in and ran further with it.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of just leaving it where it was and letting it just be the ha ha moment, it became more ha 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 ha.
Right.
It was like, okay, is enough is enough.
The way I took it, and I laughed because I was like, shoot, if I did have some time, I would post the, you know, some more, but I just didn't. I didn't have time to do that.
Mm-mm. Like, the post wasn't necessary.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't.
The pictures, and then that was it.
Because even if she had posted the same picture again, but nobody had said anything, it would have just been her posting pictures. Mm-hmm. But it was the joke that was made to be funny, but to be malicious too.
I see your point.
You see what I'm saying?
I see your point.
So, but see, nobody don't really get the joke until it's made against them.
Yeah, I get the point.
See what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
So that's just how we go into the people don't really realize shit happening.
But is that do you think that's a way of deflecting? Do you think that's a way of
Is that a personality thing?
We're
going to cut this because we're going to talk offline because this is personal. And that's that. But like I said, responsiveness versus reactivity.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Well, with that being said, that concludes our show for today. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Never miss an episode on TheVeryNecessaryPodcast.com. And catch us on all social platforms at TheVeryNecessaryPodcast.
Amen.
All right,
Susie.
We out.
Bye.